It's a Jack and Tom Show Rewind. Now we rewind.
But the other thing that I thought was the field conditions were terrible. Oh. I mean, we went over there.
Hey, don't tell me about it. I've been bucking for the turf drive.
I'm telling you, I would make a donation for them to get field
conditions. Charlie, you're going to do that? Charlie.
It's terrible that the people go,
oh, you struck a nerve, buddy. It's no strategy. I'm on, with our brand center and I are trying to raise money. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Game one
to have conditions like that. It's just crap.
This is the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.
Dave, you're a naughty guy. That was a year ago.
It's great stuff.
I'll tell you what.
That's pretty timeless.
I'll tell you what. Lindsey Evans feels pretty doggone good right now. They with Trey Rogers. It's I still want field turf.
I still want field turf.
But I'm telling you what, that field has really improved. It drains well. We had senior night last night. The field was great. The stadium was packed. The student body showed up.
And what would have happened had I not made that promo? Nothing.
I don't know.
Be 18-inch grass. That's
yeah, maybe, but it was great. And Lindsey Adams. But Charlie, that was following the Hazlitt East Lansing game of last year in 2009. And that was when we had, I call it moonsod out there. You know, Neil Armstrong would have a hard time getting around that thing. But not so much this year. And obviously one of the gurus of high school athletics, the communications director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. I don't know a guy who works a job harder than this guy does.
I got like 7 emails a day from
him. I'm telling you what, he enjoys it. And when your vocation is a vacation, it doesn't seem like a job. And that's what I'm sure it is for John Johnson. How are you doing this morning, JJ?
Well, good. I agree with Dave, though. I want field turf in mid-Michigan, too. We could really use a facility that has field turf to assure that the Lansing area always has a football semifinal game every year, to the benefit, obviously, of the community and to the benefit of communities that are playing in the tournament. So, but Trey Rogers and his whole people have done a marvelous job over at Lindsey Adams, Tom. And, you know, if you like what you see this year, just wait until next year. And we had the benefit this year, of course, of 9 of the greatest Friday football nights. You know, where Fields didn't take a pounding. You know, that will go a long way for helping out new facilities, new grass that's been put down in places like East Lansing, and it'll assure a lot of good fast tracks for the playoffs starting next weekend.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. The weather, I mean, I go back for it in high school football. I mean, I can never recall, you know, throwing the dice and having these perfect. I'm knocking on wood because I want for the playoffs next Friday night, too. I'm probably going to jinx us all. But, yeah, you know, as far as the turf goes, that would be great. And East Lansing would really benefit from a practice field, you know, position, because then they could practice on that field, and then the wear and tear on their practice fields, which are pretty wearing down right now, wouldn't be an issue. So there's a lot of good reasons to have field turf, artificial turf, whatever you want to call it, for other sports as well. And that's a discussion for another day. But I want to talk to you about a big day tomorrow night. I know the East Lansing Trojans last night after their win over Owosso were in the cafeteria, were, you know, celebrating the season with parents, and we're already looking forward to our TV party tomorrow night, Selection Sunday for the high school ranks. And tell us about that show and you know what goes into that and what we're all going to find out tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
Well, we've really created a culture with the television show. You know, it's something that we started back in the mid-90s with a half-an-hour show late on Sunday night on PASS. And Tim Stout was doing it out of the studios at the old TCI cable offices on Trowbridge Road across the street from the old MHSAA offices. And people already kind of knew, or people, I shouldn't say already, they didn't kind of, they already knew, you know, how things were going to play out for the playoffs at that time, because the system was much different than it is now. But with the system now that we have, where you don't draw the lines, you don't put the teams together until you know, after week 9, and literally, and then have to do some work to figure out who the extra teams are, you know, we've really created a culture, because the one thing that nobody knows for sure going into that 7 o'clock show tomorrow night on Fox Sports Detroit Live and live on the web at foxsportsdetroit.com is what those pairings will be and, you know, who might be in a position like, say, a Grand Ledge or a DeWitt is to what division are they going to be in, and then ultimately, you know, what the pairings are, because nobody on the outside knows, Tom, how those lines get drawn to determine who's in the regions and who's in the district.
John Johnson, the MHSAA, our guest on the Jack and Tom Show. And that's what I was hearing all last night from my son, his teammates, parents, anybody comes up to me. We're, you know, talking to Tom Hunt, the athletic director. He's getting the same questions. Where's East Lansing going to go? Are they going to be D2? They've always been D3 in recent years. Are they going to be D2? Does that mean they're going to be shipped out to Portage Central, Portage Northern? Or are they going to play in Division III, maybe a Mason Bulldog opponent on the – do you have any idea? Are you going to give us any kind of clue, JJ, on this? We want to know.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people with a lot more time on their hands than I who, you know, try to make a cottage industry.
Yes, they do.
Tried to figure out. There's some good websites. I'm not going to promote them here this morning. But they're actually pretty, I think they're pretty close to accurate. And I've been using them this week to determine where am I going to send my television crews next week for the MHSAA Network, the first round games. But, you know, it's interesting, though, when you look at mid-Michigan, there are a lot of – there's always a lot of moving parts. But in mid-Michigan, you know, it's even different because this is an area where lines get drawn between two seemingly natural opponents. You know, let's not forget in girls basketball a few years ago, Portland St. Patrick and Lansing Christian playing for a girls' state basketball championship. You know, and they're schools that are 20 miles apart. You know, the lines have got to be drawn somewhere. You know, and I've seen some models from some of the websites that would take a team from mid-Michigan and pair them up. If one person pairs them up with somebody from Grand Rapids, another one pairs one team up with a team from Livingston County. And, of course, there's not a lot of qualifiers going to come out of the mid-Michigan area this year. So, yeah, it does make things like a Lansing team versus a Kalamazoo team or maybe even a Bay City team quite possible. And so, you know, it's pretty interesting stuff, pretty wild stuff. But, you know, right now there are a lot of people who have done already, have probably spent all night doing it, what I just did in the last 5 minutes. And that's just go out to MHSAA.com. And we've got filters on our website where you can look at the number of teams that have already qualified, which is 237. Figure out how many more could qualify by win total, and the answer to that looks like it's going to be 3, which means that if that plays out correctly, that we'll take 4 teams from each of the 4 classes, A, B, C, and D, and put them into the tournament and then start putting dots on maps and drawing the lines.
John Johnson, Michigan High School Athletic Association, our guest on the Jack and Tom Show. And, you know, when you get into those scenarios like D2, for example, here in mid-Michigan, I remember the Everett Vikings a couple of years ago. They had to, didn't they go play Lowell in the first round? I mean, it seems like we're kind of in this hollow area of D2ers. And that's why I was thinking if the Okemos Chieftains had somehow, and they did beat Hazlett last night, would they be a potential qualifier and maybe get in the D2 category?
I spent a few minutes last night with Paul Palmer before the Hazlett game, and you know he was saying, Johnny, what happens? And you know I said, oh, I was running the numbers, and you know I don't want to speculate too far. I mean, you can go to our website and you can figure it out. You know those were two teams that even with a win, you have to take a look at the quality of the schedule, the bonus points that would be accrued, and of you know all the bonus points that you pick up from teams that you beat having won games. The game that Okemos or Hazlett would have stood to pick up the most bonus points from all year long was the game that they played with each other last night. You know, because of, you take a look at, okay, Ionia is out there on the schedule and Eaton Rapids and a few others like that, you're not going to pick up too many bonus points.
Right.
In those scenarios. And so, no, the chances weren't terribly good for either the Chiefs or the Vikings, you know, going into that game. And, you know, just taking a look at the numbers, you know, like I said, they're out there on MHSA.com. You can pretty much figure out right now who those additional qualifiers from the four divisions, may, four classes, A, B, C, and D, might be.
Well, you know, JJ, this obviously goes into scheduling. Talking to Tom Hunt last night, AD at East Lansing High School, and there he's working on filling a non-conference game for next year. And who, you know, you want to get a Class A team versus a Class B team, because you know those, you know, that's gonna, you're gonna garner points just in, you know, that that part of the equation as well. If you play a Class B team, I mean, you're not gonna get the points you play an A team. So you want to play the bigger schools, obviously.
Well, and you know, two, we have to continue to look at some of the things that the football playoffs do in terms of scheduling that aren't necessarily healthy. You know, why did Mendon play three out-of-state opponents this year? Why did Inkster play six or seven out-of-state opponents last year? And it was because nobody wanted to have an L hung on them,
right?
You know, and lose their chances. And you know, our football scheduling unfortunately has become too driven by the playoffs, and you know, it makes you think of the BCS.
Exactly, I'm just going to say that.
You know, in that regard, you know, we still have to keep some perspective and find some balance between trying to find opponents that certainly can work towards, you know, helping us either, you know, get a win or some bonus points or whatever, but also, you know, in these tough times, keep the cost containment in line, you know, and keep the perspective in line. You know, those are the things that we fight the hardest, and those are the things that we have to remember in school sports, is that at the end of the day, it's all about participation and not participation in the playoffs.
Right, JJ. John Johnson, our guest on the Jack and Tom Show. But to that point, and before we let you go, I want to get your viewpoint, you know, as far as this. I got to actually make a comment about it, because I remember when you were in the four-class system. I mean, how long ago was that before you expanded to the eight in terms of football?
Well, if you think about it, it started 35 years ago with eight teams, two from each of the, it started with 16 teams.
Okay.
Four regions, and the top team in each region, in each of the four classes, you know, went to the tournament. So you had a semifinal round and you had a final round.
For four classes.
For each of four classes.
Right.
So this is the 35th anniversary of one of those games, which is the shot heard round the world, when Ishpeming came down to Mount Pleasant and cracked the 72-game winning streak, which was a national record at the time, just, in fact, set the week before by the Hudson Tigers.
Right, I remember
that dated, yeah, went back into the 1960s.
Right.
But we went from, you know, 16 teams then to 32, I think, about 3 years later, and then to 64, and it was just before Jack Roberts came on the staff in 1986 that the tournament field then expanded and went out to 128. So we went to the 4-week tournament. We were still in the four classes, and then it was after that that when we, let's see, 1989.
Yeah, that you went to eight.
Was the last year of the four-class tournament.
Right.
And we ended up the four-class tournament with probably the greatest playoff game ever played, DeWitt and Farmington Hills Harrison.
Right.
When after DeWitt scored a touchdown with about a 130 to go, milled the Thrill Coleman, engineers a drive all by his lonesome in about 45 seconds to beat DeWitt. And you know, I was down on the field at the end of that one, and I never saw so many happy players in my life, both sides,
right?
Because they just really enjoyed the experience. So 1999, we went to double classes,
right?
Double A, double B, and there were some who said, and you know, rightfully so, that D had it too good because there was only half as many schools that played football in Class D. And so, you know, for competitive equity's sake, you know, then, you know, we did some other tinker-toying. We went with the eight divisions. The football coaches wanted a wide-open tournament. And I'll say this right now, it ain't never going to happen.
Right.
Never. We'll get smaller with this tournament before we get bigger.
No, you're at the sweet spot right now. I really think that. And
and
it goes a lot about, you know, my good friend Ted Fox was a – co-captain on the last mythical Class A state champion, 1975, Birmingham Brother Rice, and that was done in a voting booth.
Those were great teams.
Yeah, 1974.
The McLean brothers playing for Alpha Casa.
Right.
You know, that was just a fabulous team.
Yeah, that was all done in a voting booth, and this is so much better on the field. Thanksgiving weekend, you've packaged that thing together. I'm all about it. I want to get down this year to it, and certainly I want to commend you, JJ, for doing such a great job that you and Jack and your staff does out there. And we will be watching tomorrow night at 7:00 over at East Lansing High School. The football team, the parents, we're all going to be glued to it and find out where the Trojans are going to be playing next weekend.
Well, it's an awful lot of fun, and, you know, Fox has stepped up this year and expanded the format to an hour. So, it used to be with that half-hour format, you know, about all you had time for was just basically reading who was in. But now they'll throw in a couple of features. One of them, ironically, is about Hudson football and about how the community gets behind it. We'll have coaches' interviews. I believe the Elk Rapids coach and the Sterling Heights Parkway Christian coach will be on. Rob Rubick. We'll be on to do some guest analysis. And then one other fun thing that we're going to be doing on Fox Sports Detroit.com right after the show is over, we want people to go online for more. And they're going to be online and break things down just a little bit further and have some more fun with what's turned into a great celebration for high school sports here in the state of Michigan, the Selection Sunday show.
John Johnson, Michigan High School Athletic Association, been our guest on the Jack and Tom Show. And, JJ, certainly appreciate your time and try to get some sleep this weekend.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
All right.